It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
A new academic study is released that pierces the narrative that Trump supporters are basically lower class blue collar workers looking for economic opportunity. And in fact indicates that Hillary Rodham Clinton's big mistake in the presidential campaign may have been making her basket too small. This is Forward Nation Radio, and I'm David Leventhal. Thank you for joining us this week. On today's show, we're going to talk about foreign affairs. Yes, they still exist. Not those affairs, actual foreign affairs. We're going to have Swamp Watch Russia edition, and time permitting, talk a little bit more about the tax bill. But first, we're going to start off with the big, breaking, exciting news of the week. A comedian did a stand-up routine to a bunch of jackasses. That apparently is the story of the week. Really? I can't believe we're talking about performance at the Correspondents' Club dinner. Meanwhile, we are, and there's actually a lot to talk about that relates to stuff that we have talked about a lot on this show. First of all, kudos to Michelle Wolf. Good for you. Well done. The first thing that needs to be pointed out, I suppose, with her performance is, wow, what a tough room. A comedian going to do a performance in that kind of a room, you got to take your hat off. These are a huge audience of people that most of the time you got the sense they were all Trump clones in that, as James Comey put it, they don't seem to have the ability to laugh. Some of her jokes fell flat. Some of her jokes were aimed at their expense, so you can understand why they might not have been laughing heartily at such jokes. But some of her jokes weren't at their expense, and most of the time they still didn't seem to manage to laugh. Meanwhile, a lot of the jokes were funny. What do we take out of this story and what's all the hubbub that has arisen since this comedy routine was given? The media narrative. Nasty liberals. Liberals are so nasty. They're so mean. They're so condescending. They're so inappropriate. This is a narrative that comes out of nowhere, but it seems to be a common media narrative. Like, for instance, when a student of mine came into class on Monday morning, a good student, very informed, reads a lot, came in and said, what did you think about her performance at the Correspondents' Club dinner? And I said, I haven't seen it. I just started reading stuff about it, but I really haven't given it any thought yet. He said some positive things and said, but the stuff with the appearances, making fun of Sarah the Huckster's appearance, that crossed the line. That was inappropriate. And I said, we're not big on body shaming or making jokes about people's appearances on the show. But it turns out that never happened. She didn't make fun of Sarah the Huckster's appearance. And any effort to try to make that connection was absurd. And as Michelle Wolf has pointed out afterwards, demonstrates bias on the part of the viewer, not on her part. Maybe some sexism on the part of the viewer, not on her part. And yet the narrative was so strong that a lot of people were buying into this, making fun of the appearance. No less than New York Times reporter Maggie Haberman famously posted on Twitter how inappropriate this was to make fun of her appearance. Now, Maggie Haberman has done a great job breaking big stories over the last few months regarding the Trump administration. So why'd she blow this one, as a lot of people did? Well, that was the narrative. We might say that we're above this. We might say that we're smart enough that the propaganda doesn't affect us, but it affects us all. When we keep hearing the same crap over and over again, it creates the narrative and it changes our way of thinking. This has resulted in rallying cries to defend the huckster. Seriously? Defend the huckster? A comedian being inappropriate is the story of the week? Not this lying sack of shit having a job where she just lies to the country all the time? Lies on behalf of the President of the United States, lies on behalf of criminals, lies on behalf of people who are picking your pocket and keeping you ignorant while they're doing it so they can get away with it. The big story is we weren't nice to her. If anything, Michelle Wolf was too nice to her. She didn't say sack or shit at any point. Maybe she said shit. The version I viewed was bleeped. But she did say any of that. She's a disgrace. And yes, it's a good point. You shouldn't be making fun of her appearance. Why? Because her personality is bad enough. Her job is bad enough. Why trivialize what an absolute disgrace she is by talking about her appearance? Where else is it okay to lie to your boss? And when I say lie to your boss, those of you out there thinking she's lied to Trump, this is the problem. Trump is not her boss. She works for the United States of America. The American people are supposed to be her boss. And she routinely comes out and lies to them. Don't try this at home, kids. You lie to your boss, you're going to get fired. There should be some mechanism where garbage like this gets fired. Because she is a disgrace, regardless of what she looks like. Things that should have come out of this story also, the coziness. I don't know, her speech didn't turn my stomach. The pictures from the speech turned my stomach. Watching Reince Priebus yuck it up with people who are supposedly covering him, with so-called journalists, this is a problem. Since when are journalists supposed to be cozy with the people they cover? And if they are, what do you think is the likelihood that we're going to be getting the straight story? That it won't be clouded by that coziness? This is Judith Miller having sex with the recently pardoned Scooter Libby all over again. Only maybe they're not having sex, but it's pretty damn close. They're glad-handing each other in any event. The head of the Correspondents Club referred to her lack of civility. Really? Civility? That's what the news is supposed to be? I have an article that I hand out in one of my classes where someone refers to the news as tasteful. Praises some news source by saying they deliver the news tastefully. Since when is the news supposed? I've been making fun of that for years. And now I'm going to get to make fun of civility as well. The news maybe is supposed to have rough edges. Maybe that's hard to do when you're doing shots with the person sitting next to you who you're supposed to be covering. That's why Michelle Wolf's speech, as wonderful as it was not quite Colbertian. The benchmark of Correspondents Club dinners being Stephen Colbert's speech several years ago, where he stood a few feet from the President of the United States and called him a liar and a crook. That was great. I guess it's not Michelle Wolf's fault that Trump wasn't there. Colbert's speech was, if anything, hard-hitting. What was the reaction to Colbert's speech? What I pretty much expect is going to be the ultimate reaction to this one, which is the immediate aftermath was, boy, that speech was not well received. It was not funny. It lacked civility, whatever else. But then people started watching it, like I started watching it after this all came up, and decided, good for you, Michelle Wolf. The only problem that I can see in your speech is you pulled too many punches. But it's good to see liberals finally playing a little bit of hardball. Because the other side always plays hardball. Whatever she said about anybody in the Trump administration is a fraction of what they've been saying about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. How about Hillary for prison? That's not problematic. But Sarah the huckster burns the truth, burns facts. That's problematic? What a double standard. Hooray that liberals are finally fighting back a little bit. Did you get a chance to watch last week's show? I hope that you did. We are very happy to have presented a conversation with New York Times op-ed columnist Gail Collins. I've been spending a lot of time in the intervening week thinking about a lot of our discussion, which is what a good journalist like Ms. Collins does. But one of the things that particularly stands out right now is our discussion, brief though it was, about how liberals tend to appeal to people through laughter, Michelle Wolf, whereas conservatives tend to appeal through outrage and anger. Boy, are we seeing this in spades right now. Everybody should be happy right now. Liberals got a funny, mostly funny speech that rightly skewered the people it deserved to skewer, and conservatives get to be outraged over nothing, anything, whatever. They get to be outraged. Everybody goes home a winner. But I've also thought about the impact of this. You know, laughter doesn't necessarily make you show up at the polls. Anger and fear do make you show up at the polls. Maybe liberals need to figure out a way to channel a little bit more outrage and anger. Notice Michelle Wolf, even when she was calling out the administration, like this part, if a tree fell on Kellyanne Conway in the woods, and she immediately had to say, no, she's not getting hurt in my example. You could see Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage and Alex Jones doing the same thing, of course. I did not mean for Hillary or anybody to get hurt, of course. Yeah, right. I didn't mean for her to get hurt by the tree, just trapped by the tree. Kellyanne Conway, along with Sarah the Huckster, there is a special place in hell I hope reserved for this human trash. They are swamp dwellers. They are rats. They are evil scum. But we have to say, oh, we don't really wish ill of them. I don't wish anybody dead. I'm a nice guy. She should just be trapped under that tree for the rest of my life. Someone could go feed her on occasion. She's disgusting. I don't shed crocodile tears over the death or the end of the professional career of Joseph Goebbels. I'm sure as hell not shedding tears over that garbage, whose job it is to lie to the American public so that people could do bad things to them. Anyway, ending this media narrative on a high note and a light note. When Fox and Friends actually becomes a go-to news source, these are indeed interesting times. The funniest story of the week has to be moron number one, or was it moron number three? I don't remember. Cutting off the President of the United States on Fox and Friends. Cutting off the President of the United States on Fox and Friends with a very not so subtle, Mr. President, you may have nothing to do with your day. We do. We actually have something better to do. Don't you need to go elsewhere? Like I say to people, when people say to you, okay, I'll let you go now, when you're on the phone. It's like, hey, fuck you. What, did I say I want to go? Am I rushing to get out of here? Don't give me this shit, you're letting me go. Don't blame it on me that I'm getting out of this conversation. You're the one who's ending the conversation. Take credit for it. So moron number three should have just said, hey, Mr. President, I'm sorry, we have important things to do. We can't talk to you anymore. They also called him out about lying on something. They challenged him. I don't remember what the hell it was. It's been a while ago. But they're like, Mr. President, you know, I'm not sure really that that's true, which is, of course, real journalism from Fox and Friends. They cut him off because they had better places to be. And then they went to, what was it? It was like a Home and Garden segment or something. I mean, something ridiculous. I'm sorry, Mr. President, we have really important matters to get to. Do you have termites? Actually, no, termites would be important. I'm sorry. What they did was way more trivial than that. Anyway, beware of the media narrative. And make sure you make your own decisions. Really, is it remarkable when you read somebody else tell you about what somebody said or what somebody did? Unless it's me, you have reasons to be concerned. Okay, I was just kidding. Even if it's me, you shouldn't take us at face value. Anyway, let's move on to foreign affairs, because right now they still kind of exist for America, at least for a little while. Again, not the peeing on the bed type, but actual foreign affairs, things that are happening in the world. Let's start with Iran, because we're apparently about to rip up the nuclear agreement with Iran, something that intelligent people around the world have said, wow, great job. But Trump, playing to his base, had to attack it, because after all, the black guy did it. So here we are with Trump, gonna tear up the Iran agreement, the nuclear agreement, despite the fact that the president of, I don't know, just about everywhere is trying to trick him into not doing it. When I say just about everywhere, of course, I'm excluding Israel. Its right-wing president actually comes in with a slideshow presentation with graphs and pictures. He knows how to appeal to Trump. They all know how to play this man. And he talks about these important documents that demonstrate that Iran is not trustworthy. Okay, it turns out those documents are older than most of my viewers, but still, it's important stuff to come out with these documents, apparently. Iran is so evil that they were violating the nuclear agreement years before it even existed. That's how evil these sons of bitches are. They are creative scum. What is the new news on this one? There's no new news on this one. We've known all this crap. Gee, imagine Iran lied about its nuclear program. Who would lie about its nuclear program? Israel. What does that even mean? There is an enforcement mechanism in place. Iran keeps being certified as complying with the agreement. But no, let's just assume that the agreement was drafted by a couple of three-year-olds, and Donald Trump can pull out of his ass a much better idea. What does the president of France, Germany, Russia, China, Great Britain, and I don't know, everywhere else know that we don't know? They don't know anything. President Macron of France comes to America, speaks to Congress, and talks about globalism, immigration, liberty, and science. In other words, he came to Congress and raised his middle finger at the Republican caucus. What a freaking world we live in. So everyone's trying to play Trump. And it's really bothering Sarah Huckster that Iran, years ago, may not have been fully disclosing all of its nuclear ambitions to its daddy, the United States of America. Because after all, if you're Sarah the Huckster, you have a big problem with false pretenses, her words. How upside down is this world? The biggest liar on the fucking planet is upset with somebody else because they may have lied and will not tolerate that? She works for Donald Trump. Oh, I forgot. Sarah the Huckster told us he doesn't lie. So everyone's trying to play Trump, and the fate of the world apparently rests on which country has the best-looking whores. Anyway, other international news. The White House, the president, the great negotiator, is apparently delaying tariffs. The president of the United States bluffed, and the rest of the world said, I call. And the president of the United States has pretty much just folded. Let's just break this down to what it was. Yes, this is the guy who's going to single-handedly renegotiate the Iran agreement, the North Korea agreement, NAFTA. Well, not single-handedly. I assume he's going to have the help of Jared for some of these things. But this is the guy who's going to do all that. Yeah, good luck with that. keep wishing. Anyway, because we had a special show last week, we didn't have our normal edition of Swamp Watch. And the Swamp Watch, Draining the Swamp edition, has to start, of course, with Scott Pruitt. One of the questions I didn't get to ask Gail Collins. Months ago, Gail Collins, in one of her quizzes on who is the worst Trump cabinet official, named Scott Pruitt. And what I wanted to ask Gail Collins was, do you wish you had that one back? Do you think you kind of jumped the gun on that one? Because, man, that guy really has to win again. Scott Pruitt is testifying in front of Congress about the fact that he's incredibly corrupt. But that's okay. His underlings are at fault. It's not his fault. Blame it on the little guy. The buck in Republican circles stops somewhere one or two or three floors down. You're looking for the buck, it's down there somewhere. It's not his fault. It's his underlings. And the Republicans have a real problem here. Because he's an absolute crook. But he's done so much to destroy the environment. How do you get rid of a prize like that? How do you get rid of a jewel who's done so much to advance the GOP agenda of dismantling the environment so rich scumbags can have a little bit more? Do you remember when waste used to matter to the Republican Party? Remember that? When government waste used to matter? Do you remember the Obama administration? The guy took a trip to India and they had to make up all over the conservative media sphere how much money he was wasting on his trip to India. It turns out they did have to make it up because he didn't waste money on his trip to India. But now that you've got actual crooks running our government, where's Fox News on this? Where are the Republicans on this? I know, I've said it a million times, I'm almost embarrassed. Okay, the Republicans are hypocrites, they're full of shit, they don't believe in anything, they're all out for themselves. Okay, yeah, that's pretty much it. We keep doing that every week, then that's pretty much clear that's what's going on. But that was earlier in the week. Now it's coming out that Scott Pruitt also brought a lobbyist friend of his to Morocco. Nobody can understand why the hell the head of the EPA is bringing lobbyist friends and meeting with important people in Morocco. Well, it's to get his friend a huge contract, of course. The question for the rest of us, of course, is what did Morocco get through all this self-dealing of Trump administration people? Before I move off of Swamp Watch, Missouri Governor Eric Greitens, his prosecution has begun. Eric Greitens, you might recall, is the guy who's being charged with the crime of some invasion of privacy crime, disseminating naked pictures, lurid pictures of his girlfriend. He took pictures of her naked. And then to make sure that she shut up about it, I don't understand, does this guy not know Michael Cohen? But to make sure that this guy shut up about it, maybe he couldn't afford Michael Cohen. To make sure that she shut up about it, he threatened to blackmail her with these pictures, allegedly. He threatened to blackmail her with these pictures so that she shut the hell up. In responding to arguments that he did this, he came out with the very strong defense of, I did not take a photo for blackmail. Remember, if you've watched our Reasoning Fallacies episode or some of the follow-up to that, there's a reasoning fallacy called equivocation. The question isn't really, for most of us, did you take a photo for blackmail? But did you take a photo and did you subsequently use it for blackmail? That's not the same thing. What your intent was when you took the photo may or may not have legal relevance. But for most of us, it's not relevant to the fact that you're shit. Eric Greitens, of course, has joined the Republican chorus of calling out the witch hunt. What is it about witch hunts? For Republicans, witch hunts are the new porn. The GOP thinks everyone is doing it. I understand their concern. If we hunt the witches, who's going to conjure up all the impeachment lawyers that the Republicans need? Then, of course, there's Jim Bridenstine, a former Republican representative who is the new administrator of NASA, who's not so convinced of the idea of climate change. Boy, we've come a long way from James Hansen, NASA's former chief climate scientist, who is still leading the charge to do something about climate change, to a new NASA administrator who doesn't acknowledge that climate change really is an issue. We talked a couple of weeks ago about David Bacall, the man in agony and as an effort to try to draw attention to climate change, self-immolated in Prospect Park in Brooklyn. And I was asked by a viewer whether I thought that would make a difference. Jim Bridenstine seems to indicate otherwise. Lastly, Profiles in Courage, Republican edition, Rand Paul. Rand Paul took a strong stand against the nomination of Mike Pompeo for Secretary of State because he was not qualified, because of things that he said and things that he believed over the years. But then he caved and ultimately changed his mind. Mike Pompeo is now our Secretary of State. Rand Paul, the best you can come up with is that Donald Trump convinced you that Mike Pompeo had changed? If you can get convinced by perhaps the biggest liar on the planet right now, you really need to come up with a new career, or at least a new excuse. Just a little bit on Russia, because we can't leave without talking briefly about some of the latest developments on Russia. Some time ago, the Democrats filed a lawsuit suing Trump and the Republican Party for collusion with Russia during the presidential election. The suit describes previously unimaginable treachery. Close quote. Add that to the list of what was previously unimaginable and is now imaginable because of the Trump administration. Rudy G joins the legal team, showing that now every thug on the planet is part of Trump's legal team. How well he does in a court is suspect, but if it comes to breaking people's knees to stop them from talking, Trump's legal team is right there. We have spent 2 weeks debating whether Michael Cohen will flip on the president. You've probably heard this before, because we did bring this up last week. But you realize the whole idea, even Trump in a tweet has talked about Cohen flipping, saying he won't flip. You realize that that whole thing presupposes the idea that he's got something to flip about. People who are innocent aren't worried about people who know them flipping on them. The mob is worried about Sammy the Bull. I'm not. I mean, does somebody just come out and say, the guy, I mean, does anybody look at what he says? He's still got a supporter saying he did nothing wrong, but he keeps admitting to stuff he did wrong. The media. Okay? Admitting to what he did wrong, this is going to get real entertaining real soon. Because, of course, the latest story breaking over the last day or two is a bunch of the questions that Robert Mueller, the special counsel, plans to ask Trump in the, I don't care what anybody says, ridiculously unlikely event that Trump actually shows up to answer questions. I know the media narrative is Trump really wants to do this and all his lawyers are quitting because they can't talk him out of it. I don't even believe that. It makes a convenient story. This guy is a pathological liar and a crook. He can't talk to the special counsel. There is no way that can end well for him. The questions that have leaked out, not really Mueller's questions written by one of Trump's attorneys, based on discussions with Robert Mueller, seem to indicate that Mueller has this guy by the balls on a whole lot of different issues, a range of issues that in fact this investigation is running along lots of different tracks at the same time. And those tracks in every direction are leading to a constitutional crisis. That crisis may be precipitated by the Republicans who leaked their own memo talking about impeaching Rod Rosenstein so they can put someone in who can fire Mueller. It may be precipitated by the president ignoring a subpoena to speak to the special counsel. But it is coming. It may be precipitated by a president who can't be put out of office but gets indicted for lots of crimes. But it's coming. And it's coming because we have one political party in this country that has absolutely no interest in democracy, the rule of law, justice, fairness, or any concept of decency. Speaking of which, not enough time today to talk about the tax bill. We'll have to come back to that on a future show as more information continues to come out about how unbelievably awful that is. What a surprise that is. Anyway, thank you for joining us on today's show. We're glad you were able to make it. Like looking forward, go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com and get the full experience. You'll see the video from this and every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Please subscribe to us on YouTube. If you don't know how to do that, ask your son, daughter, or granddaughter how to do that. Please do subscribe to us. Get your friends to subscribe to us. Don't miss our next podcast on podbean.com. If you love what you heard, like us on Facebook. Why are you going on Facebook? But you are. Please like us there while you're there. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Tell your friends. Spread the word. Forward Nation Radio. Thank you. See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.